live, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We pray for those that are on the prayer list. We pray for those needs. We pray for those families that their lives were changed. And Lord, from this tragedy, we pray for those that are traveling, those that are in the path of the storm that's going on now. We just pray for so many. But Lord, we also pray for those that need Christ. Those that we come in contact with daily, and maybe we don't even realize it. Lord, help us to have enough confidence in you that you can change a life. That all we have to do is be obedient and just talk to you and talk to others about Jesus. Not to look on us, but to look on you. Lord, may we focus on you this morning. And Lord, will you clear our minds, clear our hearts. And Lord, will you speak to us in a special way this morning. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Confidence in the Lord. As I said moments ago, change is happening everywhere. Change comes in many different shapes, many different sizes, many different ways. Change can be expected. Change can be unexpected. Change sometimes comes in nothing can change what is happening. So how can we get through what we call as life? How can we get through devastating news? How can we get through devastating changes? How can we get through, and how can we be strong enough to help us through life itself? You know, I wished I could give a report this morning to say that once you get saved and once you come to know Christ, that life is a piece of cake, but it's not. Matter of fact, in some ways, coming to know Christ, life becomes more challenging because we think different. We act different. Conviction is brought upon us. And Satan's attacks seem like they become greater. And I've said this before, but I want to say it this morning, is one of the things that I believe Satan's attacks, one of the greatest tools that he has in attacking a believer is doubt. Doubt can come at various times. Doubt can come when we're very tired, when we're very weary. Doubt can come when the opposition attacks you, whether it be words. You know, words can hurt individuals. And therefore, we must beware of the things we say and how we say it. You see, there were problems here in Romans in chapter 14, and we won't take it to an extreme, but I just want to say this, that Paul was expounding on what many would say Christians' responsibilities. You see, they were troubled because there were some that were weaker than others in the faith. And they were struggling with what was taking place. And I believe there was some encouragement that was given. And the encouragement that was given was, we are the Lord's. That was the encouragement. We are the Lord's. You see, verse 8 is very vital to us having confidence when so many things come our way. Verse 8 is vital to life itself. And having that understanding and that realization that we are the Lord's when it comes to a believer in Christ. A believer in Christ must understand that we are the Lord's and that He changed our life. And He changed it to the point to where We now belong. We now belong. You see, when I was growing up, when I would go with my father, whether we would go fishing or we would go somewhere, and I would be with him, and I remember one time, it was right along the river of the French, right along the side of the French Broad River, there used to be a little farmer's market, and my dad looked at me and said, "How would you like a watermelon? Let's bring a watermelon home." And so I remember it was in a, they were cold. They were just as cold as they could be. And I remember I was just a little fellow. I was probably in about first or second grade. And they had these watermelons in cold water, in these old Coca-Cola coolers. And I remember, they were thumping the watermelon. You know, 50 years later, I still thump a watermelon, but I don't know why. It sounds good to me. And we can thump and we can do all those things, and some people are good at it and some people aren't. But let's just be honest. Are you really checking the watermelon when you thump it? Or is that just what you're supposed to do? But I remember they were thumping it, and I remember they cut a little section out. My dad said, "Well, this one looks good." So they actually cut a little triangle out and pulled it out, and it was just as red as could be. And so they pulled it out, and we went to pay for it, or my dad went to pay for it. And I remember the woman saying, "You look just like your dad. You can tell you're his son." Now, for a little fella, that thrilled me. You know, that's the confidence that we have, is knowing that we are the Lord's. Knowing that we're the Lord's. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what's said to us or what's done to us or what happens, whether it be tragedy or non, or just life itself and going through the struggles of life, when you're sitting there in the waiting room of waiting to see a doctor or whatever comes your way, we have that confidence this morning that we are the Lord's. You see, that brings us comfort. That brings us help. That brings us joy. That's how we get through life, as being one of His children. And so when it comes to that verse, yes, there was some struggles and there was there was some faith that was stronger than others. But you know, I've come to realize this. When it comes to faith, we all have struggles. You know, we all have struggles. Maybe not faith in our salvation, because that's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done in our heart and how that He saved us. But sometimes our faith and what might be strong, I might be strong in the faith with that's happening in my life. You might be a little weaker, but there might be things that's happening in your in life in another way that I'm a little weak and you're stronger. But the point is, we all struggle. We all struggle. So we get our confidence in the Lord. We get our confidence in the world, in the Lord, and not in the world and the things of the world. You see, verse 8 declares the fact that we are in the Lord, and that begins with a relationship. We must have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know Him in a personal way. We must know Him, and there must have been a time in our life that we said yes to Jesus Christ. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I went to church, and I heard the gospel being preached, and I was taught in Sunday school, and I was taught growing up, and I knew who Jesus was as far as the person of Jesus, meaning that I knew that He died for my sins, and I knew all those things. But it wasn't until I knew Him in a very personal way and I accepted Christ at the age of 15 that I began to live. That I began to live. You see, we can grow up knowing. You know, I believe that the average person, at least in our communities, the average person knows the name of Jesus. They know the name of Jesus. but do they know Him in a personal way? Receiving Him as Savior. We had a visitor yesterday, and we didn't come to the door. We were getting ready, and we had a visitor, and they left a brochure on the door. And so apparently there's some kind of event in the future going on sometime in July, and I'm not going to tell you what date because I don't want you to go there. But it's sometime in July at the Lawrence Joel. And they you read this invitation, and supposedly going to this thing, you'll find help. And you'll find what you're needing. But it doesn't tell you about Jesus. It doesn't tell you about our help. Our hope is in Jesus, in the shed blood of Calvary. You see, there's such a false hope. And just because someone knows the name of Jesus, and just because they believe that He was a good person and all those things, doesn't mean that they know Him in a personal way. So therefore, our confidence comes in knowing Him in the personal way. Our confidence comes in knowing Him as Savior. You see, we don't know our future. We don't know what our future is. We don't know, what might happen in our future. We don't know. But here in this verse, we have the confidence that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We have that confidence. We don't know our future. We don't know what our future holds for us. But I'm glad this morning that you can know the one who holds the future for us. The one who holds the future for us. The only thing that we know is that change is coming. Change will happen. And most likely we're going to go through some kind of change in our life multiple times. Multiple times. But that as we go through these changes in life, as we go through them, then there's three things that I want to point out this morning. And not only do I know, let me tell you how I know change is coming in our life. You know, because we all deal with change, but let me tell you how I know change is coming. When I come through the church doors and Pastor Chuck is there, then he tells me the good news when he has a health problem or he has to go to the doctor. He tells me, you're going to look forward to this one day. So he helps me to know that change is coming. The only thing that I have one up on him right now is kidney stones. And I tell him, change is coming. But the point is, we understand life is full of changes. We understand that we can have plans, we can have thoughts, we can have ideas, we can have all these things. And some of those things, because I'm realizing the older I get, that my bucket list that I wanted to do or thought I wanted to do, maybe I should put it that way, has become much smaller. But there are three things that I would like to consider this morning when it comes to confidence in the Lord. Because if we don't have anything else, I trust that we don't leave this place this morning without having pure confidence in God. Because we are the Lord's. If you were in Christ and you're saved this morning, you are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. And nothing can change that. No one can take it away. No one can destroy it. No one can cut it off or anything like that. But you are the Lord's. So in knowing that and in knowing the confidence that we have in the Lord, let's look at some privileges that we can enjoy. Because when tragedy comes or when change comes, maybe I should put it that way, when change comes, you understand as you get older, there's some things that you can't do anymore. You know, our bodies won't allow it. Our minds still want to do it. Our minds still wanted to do the things that we one time did, and our hearts want to, but yet our bodies won't allow it. So there's some things, there's still some privileges that we can enjoy and that we have because we're the Lord's. And the first thing I want to make mention is this. The Bible says, for whether we live. I want you to think about those two words. We live. If you don't know by now, life is fragile. Life is fragile. And many don't see it that way because of the things that they're doing in life right now. Life is fragile. I shared with the church recently, and I can't remember if it was Wednesday night or if it was in one of the other services, but there's a person that I know that I became acquainted with that I knew that his life was on a downhill spiral because of the things that he did, because of the things that and all those things. And then we found out, I believe it was this past week, that he was arrested. And the new way of doing things, and it's amazing to me how the generations find new ways of getting some type of drug. But they're looking for something, and what he had done was he had cut his arm just to insert because he had a dirty needle. And he didn't want to stick it in his skin, so he cut himself and then put whatever substance it was in that open wound. See, that's some twisted thinking. That's twisted thinking to find you're going to for people to do things like that, to try to find some kind of encouragement in that. There's no confidence in that. I can't even understand. You know, when you've probably been the same way, but Darla will tell you, the first time that I dealt with a kidney stone and they gave me some very strong pain medicine, I didn't like it. I didn't like the feeling that you had, and I wanted it to go away. But there are people that are looking for something to give them confidence, but yet the confidence that the world offers is very short term. And then they're going to crash. But what we have in the Lord, we have so much. And what we have in the Lord will not take life, but what we have in the Lord will give life. You see, what the world offers is one that is taking life, destroying the life that we have. Destroying, and people are doing it every single day. But what we have in the Lord is the confidence that He's the giver of life. Because we didn't become living until Jesus saved us. Yes, we were living as far as in bodily form, but we didn't become living until we said yes to Jesus Christ. That's when we began living. And so not only are we living, but now in Christ, we are living in the Lord. And that's what Paul was trying to express in this competition of those that had strong faith and those that were weak faith. He was just letting them know that we that are in Christ, those that were in Christ, were living in Christ. They were living in Christ, living in the Lord. To a non-believer, life becomes very frustrating with no purpose. Frustrating with no purpose. There's no hope for their future in the current state. There's no hope for their future in the current state unless Jesus becomes part of their life. You see, it's different for a believer. It's different for a believer. You see, it's a privilege for a believer to live because that's when we begin to live in Christ. It's a privilege. That's why when I think of that verse and we say, we live, It goes on to say, we live unto the Lord, which again speaks of that relationship. We are living unto the Lord. Now, there's a few folks in the Bible that I just want to make mention briefly this morning, and that is this. When we are living for the Lord, there's some things that we can find encouragement with and confidence with. And the first thing is, when we're living for the Lord and when we're living in the Lord, then we are walking with Him. We are walking with Him. You say, how does that bring encouragement? Well, it brings encouragement to realize this morning that we're not alone. And there are some times in life that you can be around a lot of people, and you can be around person after person after person, and yet you feel alone. You feel alone. You know, when my dad died, there were people that came to our house, and there were people that would come in and give their condolences and, you know, and all those things. But that was probably one of the most alone times that I ever felt, was when my dad passed away. Because it felt like that no one understood. And I had one man come to see me, and he took me down. I used to coon hunt back then. He took me down. He said, let's go look at your dogs. And so we went down to the dog lot where it was, and we began to looking at the dogs, and he began to tell me, because see, his dad died at an early age too. And he began to tell me, and he didn't, he just simply became a friend. He didn't give me a lot of advice saying, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, because I already knew. But he just became a friend. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like the friend we have in Jesus. There's nothing like the friend we have in Jesus. You know, I think sometimes when it comes down to it, sometimes we just want Him to pull us up close sometimes. And nothing else but just to hold us. And you know that He understands. He understands. He understands, because He understands the feelings of our infirmities. And He understands what you're going through, and He understands the change. You know, it's a tragedy that took place in Texas, and it's devastating to these families. But you know what? We may not understand, but He does. And they can find hope in Jesus. They can find hope. They can find hope. The person that I think of is found in Genesis when it comes to we walk with Him, we're not alone, and that is none other than Enoch. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And verse 23 says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. There ain't nothing like walking with God. There's nothing like walking with Him. Walking through the path of life. You know, we're everyone on the path of life, and the most important thing is that we are walking with God, because we are in Him. That's why whether we live or whether we die, we are in the Lord. And we are the Lord's, because we walk with Him. And I'll give you something else. We talk with Him. We talk with Him. There was a lady that I haven't talked to her in years, but when we were at Manna, and it's you just kind of have to understand her, but she her husband was sick, and he later on died. But she used to tell me sometimes when she got bad news, and when she got, especially dealing with her husband, and he had cancer, and so she used to tell me, she said, I just need to go home and talk to God. I need to talk to Him. And she would go home, and she would find her place, and she would talk to God. She would talk to God. Do you realize we have that privilege in Christ? that we can talk to Him. Jesus is making intercession for us. There's some times that we don't know what to say. There's been times in my life that I didn't know what to say or how to say it. But that's okay, because we're still talking to Him. We're still talking to Him. What about guiding us? You know, we can, when I was growing up, I didn't know how to read a map. So you would find directions, you would go and find someone. And they would tell you. One of the first times that Darla and I ever went out on our first date on Sunday, we left church and we went up to Pilot Mountain, and we wanted to ride over to Hanging Rock, and I had never gone from Pilot Mountain to Hanging Rock, and I saw a guy in the yard, and I pulled in the driveway, and I said, "How do you get to Hanging Rock?" And he told me. You know, men don't like to take directions, but I didn't know, and I knew we needed to get back to church. So I knew that I didn't need to mess around. I needed directions. Now, they had the Garmins and the different things that you would put on your dash. But if you don't keep it updated, then it'll run you down a road. I mean, we were in Asheville not too long ago. Darla and I was a few months ago, back in March, and we were looking for a place to eat. And we were on the way home, and we said, "Well, let's do pizza." And I put it in my phone, and I said, "What's the closest pizza?" You know, Siri knows everything. And it told me of three pizza places. And I asked Darla, I said, "Which one do you want to go to?" And she said, "Well, it don't matter." So I started looking at 4 stars and 5 stars, and I thought, "All right, let's pick this one." So I pushed a button, and it took me. And we never did find it. We didn't. We had to pick the one with 4 stars. But come to find out, believe it or not, it took me to the pizza place that got washed away by the river. The point is, the only guide that we can have confidence in is the Lord. He's the only one that, you know, He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. Therefore, we can have that guide. And we see this in Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye." Hadn't you rather the Lord's eyes to guide you rather than someone else? See, we need that guide, and we have that privilege of being in the Lord. And then we are provided for by Him. He provides. We see that in Psalm 37:25. You see, it's a privilege to know His joy. It's a privilege to know His joy. And not only His joy, but also His peace and His purpose. Purpose in life. Purpose. So we must go on. That's the part of the privilege in living. But there's also a privilege to serve Him. To serve Him. Do you realize that we are His ambassadors? His ambassadors. This world is a foreign place to us. This is not our home. And we're to be His witnesses. But number two, not only do we think about the privileges we have, but it's also, there's an appointment for each one of us. There's an appointment for each one of us. Recently, I had actually lost my Social Security card probably about 40 years ago. And nowadays, you probably need it to prove who you are. So somebody that I know got their son one who had lost his, and I thought, well, that don't seem too hard. Don't lose your Social Security card. And so we went there, and I thought all you had to do is go in and prove who you are, your birth certificate, and so on. But then we get to the door, and it says you have to make an online appointment. And so then you have to do this by the technology and you get it online. Well, it wouldn't let me go to the place that I was at in Greensboro, and then it set me a date for like a month from then. And so, then when I went to my appointment was in Winston, and then I started reading all the stuff you had to have. And so I went in and there were people everywhere. And they all had numbers in their chairs. And you had to sign in with this, what they call this kiosk. And what did we do without electronics, right? And then all of a sudden, you had the screen that was on the wall, and it would, you had a number, and it would tell you when it was your time. And they would call that number, and then your name would come up, and it would say you need to go to cubicle, I think mine was 21. But I had to wait, and I had to wait, and I had to wait. But eventually, my number came. And I gave the information, and it was mailed to me about 10 days later. But I say all this. We have an appointment because the Bible says, whether we die. We all have that appointment. Of course, we understand this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment, take us all up. And we understand that. It's painful for the ones that are left behind. There's an emptiness. We've all experienced it. There's an emptiness. But it's an appointment that we all have. And we don't know the day, nor do we know the hour. But do you realize, because we're in Him, it's going to be joyous. It's going to be joyous. You see, for the believer, it's a blessed experience. Because death takes us in the presence of Jesus. Death takes us in the presence of Jesus. And that is the confidence that we have this morning. That is the confidence, not in ourselves, but that is the confidence that we have in Christ this morning, that when we take our last breath, whenever this appointment will be, the Bible says, we are confident, I say, whether we rather be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. You see, that's the confidence that we have. That's the understanding that we have this morning in Christ. In Christ. And so when Paul was trying to encourage these believers and encourage them and trying to strengthen their faith, it's all about Jesus. And it's all about finding our strength in Him. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 says, "For I am in strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Far better. The reason we struggle with it sometimes is because we've never experienced it. But if you've ever been beside someone taking their last breath, and they're a saint and they know Jesus as their personal Savior, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You see, the sting of death has been removed. Been removed. No need to be afraid of that time to come, because all is well in Jesus. No need to fear, because we will see Jesus. You see, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. You see, that relationship must be there. Whether we live or whether we die, the most important is that we are in the Lord. We are in the Lord. And then lastly, this morning, the confidence that we have now in Jesus. This isn't a boastful confidence. This isn't a boastful saying, I've got everything under control. I've got everything. This isn't a boastful confidence. The Bible says, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are in the Lord. So you see, that's the confidence we have. What is our confidence? It doesn't mean that we're not going to have a time of suffering. It doesn't mean we're not going to have a time of pain. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have a time of trial. But what matters is the confidence that we have is that we belong to Him. That's the confidence that we have. We are the Lord's here and now. You see, this is the purpose and privilege that we have. We are the Lord's forever. We are eternally His, and nothing can alter that. We are His now and forever. Whether we live here or die here, the most important thing is knowing that we are the Lord's. Knowing that we are the Lord's. And it starts with our relationship with Him. That's how it all begins. It starts with our relationship with Him. You see, we have hope this morning. No matter what comes on in our life, we have hope this morning. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to shed tears. It doesn't mean that we're not going to hurt in pain. It doesn't mean that we're not going to hurt in absence. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through all the life's emotions. But the most important thing is the end result is that we are in the Lord. We are in the Lord. So who do we put our confidence in? Our challenge is that we put our confidence in the Lord. Paul was trying to encourage them because they were struggling about doing this and doing that. They were struggling. And there were some that was outspoken. There were some, but I think he summed it all up saying, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We need to leave this place this morning with that confidence. We are the Lord's. And if there's any question in your heart, is any question in your mind that I'm not sure, it's okay. But we can be sure. I was talking to a lady one time, an elderly lady one time, and she says, I'm just not sure. And I had the privilege of talking to her and sharing the gospel with her. And when I left that day, I said, are you sure now? And she says, I'm sure. In the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for our time together. And we thank you, Lord, for the confidence that we have in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in anything that we can do. If it was up to us, Lord, we would fail at just about everything. But Lord, we know that we can have our confidence in you. We know that we can find our help in you. We know that we can find our life in you. And we understand this morning, no matter whether we're living or when our appointment times comes and we're dying, our confidence is in you. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's struggling with that, no matter how young or how old they are, help them to realize that life brings problems. Life brings trials. There's no confidence in life, but that there is confidence in Jesus. Help them this morning. And Father, we praise you for the reminder that we have in Jesus. Thank you this morning. We pray that you'll bless this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number do you have for us?